Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Jeff Russo with the Detroit Lions Podcast and Lions Wire, and I have got a mailbag for you today. Happy Easter for everybody out there, if you're watching this on Easter. This is actually being recorded on Friday. I'm going to be out of commission for a little bit, spring break with my family. So we're recording this a little bit early, so some of the information that you hear might be dated. The questions came in throughout the week from the Detroit Lions Podcast Slack Patreon channel. It is indeed the smartest Lions chat on the internet. We're trying to steer it back that way. We get a little loose lately, but we'll be good. So without further ado, let's get to some of y'all's questions. Let's see. I sort of pre-screened these, but I didn't really think about the answers. I was more looking at the questions that interested me more to answer. So from Big Wes Kivenin. I should know that. Sorry, Wes. Do you think the Lions sign a free agent offensive tackle or safety before the draft? We are not very deep at either position. Well, your second assertion is certainly correct. The Lions are indeed not very deep at either spot. Right now, the number three tackle on the team is Dan Skipper. The Lions have been loath to play Dan Skipper at tackle. Oh, he's the sixth tackle, and he's great at that. That's his role. After that, you got Connor Galvin, who was an undrafted free agent last year, who is way too tall for his own good. He's 6'9". His arms are so long that he just can't fire them out fast enough to handle the NFL level. That was obvious from the second day of training camp. So they need help there. Safety. Right now, the number four safety on the roster is Brandon Joseph, another undrafted free agent from last year, who you might remember was really, really good at Northwestern, went to Notre Dame and stunk. That's your name. So, and with Iffy injured the way he is a lot, and with Kirby Joseph having some injury issues going on, you better believe that they need help. Now, free agency is a little bit tricky right at this point. This is going to preempt some other answers. And I talked about this a little bit last week in the solo show that I did. If you're a free agent right now, you don't want to sign. You want to wait till after the draft so you know where your spot is. Let's say you're a free agent safety right now. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Justin Simmons, great example. Actually, he's probably not a great example because he would start pretty much anywhere. Let's say there's a free agent safety out there who would be competing to be number three, number four safety. You don't want to sign now before the draft when the Lions could draft a safety in the third round, second round. That wipes out your spot. That means you're fighting now instead of, you know, fighting for a role on the team. You're fighting to make the team. So I don't see that, Wes. And it's not that the Lions don't want to address the depth situation, but it's just the timing of the draft now. We are less than a month away from the draft. Free agents don't really want to sign unless they are very confident in their roles. And I don't think that the Lions are going to give that sort of confident assertion to anybody. Offensive tackle market, by the way, is trash. You saw what Matt Nelson got from the Giants. Look, we know he's not good, and they're paying him a fair amount of money. I think those are draft needs. And then after the draft, you might see a veteran or two get released because, oh, we drafted your replacement. My agent is going to come with a trade demand now or cut me because you drafted this guy. So that will happen. Try not to fret too much about that depth right now because the free agents that are out there are not great. Good question. All right. From Mungo, how do you see the wide receiver room shaking out? We know they expect a large jump from J-Mo. Absolutely. He is wide receiver two. End of discussion. Doesn't matter who they draft. J-Mo is number two to start the year. End of discussion. They brought back DPJ. They did. He'll compete. Depth role. Khalif Raymond will compete for a depth role. Well, this question actually came in before Josh Reynolds signed. Josh Reynolds, oh, he is now in Denver. We all know that. I'll just real quickly steal into Mago's question here. Josh Reynolds and the Lions did talk. It was clear that Reynolds was going to be looking for more money. It was also clear that the Lions weren't like super interested in bringing him back. Like if he wanted to come back, that's fine. But he was going to have to take a lot less money than he got from Denver. And there was, let's just say there was people in his camp that were encouraging him to, you know, maybe try to find a better place away from some of the toxicity of certain Detroit fans. I put this in the Slack the other day and I mean it. Detroit versus everybody is pretty cool, but it's awful when it's when the everybody includes Detroit. It's rough, man. And I know that Josh took some of that, and I know that he took some of it to heart. And that's unfortunate, but that's part of being a pro athlete. It's part of being a public figure. That just you got to be able to handle those things. And if you don't have to handle those things, if you can get a way out, he took it. I don't blame him for that. But the money was certainly a big factor there. So wide receiver room. Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo. Then you've got Khalif, who might be ready. We don't really know. That's actually one of the later questions. I'll answer it now. We don't have any update on Khalif Raymond and his status or what the exact injury was. There were talks of a PCL, talks of a patellar tendon. I don't know. They don't seem overly concerned about it. Like, the Lions have always been very upfront about injuries. Like, if this guy's hurt, we're going to tell you where he's hurt, how severe it might be. They do a pretty upfront job about that. So I'm not going to worry terribly about Khalif, but the unknown status is a little concerning. There's your top four right now. Antoine Green. Hopefully he can make a jump. He will be given a chance to make a jump. He's big. He can run down the field. Downfield routes were decent last year. Got some growth to do in terms of his overall precision and attention to detail, but you know he gets a chance to work on that. I think very strongly they're going to add at least one wide receiver in the draft. And one of those, whether it's Xavier Leggett in the first round, whether it's Luke McCaffrey in the third or fourth, if they make a trade into the fourth, whether it's, you know, Ryan Flournoy late on day three, somebody like that, that I know that they've looked at. I do expect a wide receiver to come in, but I don't expect them to overtake J-Mo or Amon-Ra for the top two spots early on. But, you know, the potential's there. Like, Josh Reynolds had, what, 60 catches last year? Donovan Peoples-Jones can do that. I put them roughly equivalent in terms of impact that they can have on the Lions team. So if you're a DPJ believer, you probably think that he can be wide receiver three. I won't fight you on that. But I would like to see them interject somebody else. And I do think, based on conversations I've had at Pro Days and at the Combine, that they are looking maybe not first round, but second, third, fourth, in a very deep, ridiculously deep, loaded class. Malachi Corley is the name that comes up. Malik Washington from Virginia is the name that comes up as a guy who can also be your return specialist. And that's a role that they also need. You know, there's potential there for them to take it. So I think that wide receiver 2/3 or 3/4 isn't on the roster right now. They're going to bring somebody in for that. But when and how much they prioritize that, we'll see. All right. More questions here. From Chef James, does anybody know if Emmanuel Mosley has made progress? That's a good question because I think we forget about him collectively as a Lions Nation about Emmanuel Mosley coming back. He was going to be cornerback one last year, coming off of an ACL. Now, his rehab last year took a little bit of a detour just before training camp started, is my understanding of it, because the word was that he was going to be ready for maybe not the very start of training camp, but like the second week and be ready for the first preseason game. And that didn't happen. Played two games or played two snaps in the Carolina game, tore the other ACL. Again, this is in October. So he is now 6 months out, close to 6 months out from the surgery. He should be doing okay. Another 3 months is when you're starting into training camp. Again, it's March 29th. Training camp usually starts around 4 months from today. So that'll be 10 months. We're hopeful that he will be cleared to at least have white activity. One of those things where he will probably start on the PUP, training camp on the PUP, or non-football entry list, as it might be, whichever one, they're effectively the same. And we'll see how close he can get, but it would be great if he was available by September 1st for that first game, because he is right now, tentatively anyways, cornerback number three. Your starters, Carlton Davis, Amik Robertson on the outside. Emmanuel Mosley would be number three, and he can push Amik for number two if he's healthy. We'll see about that, though, but we have not heard anything on the Mosley front. And by the way, we did actually ask that of Dan Campbell, so he was sort of deferential on that, like, don't really know, let me change the subject. And you know that if Dan doesn't know, he's going to tell you he doesn't know, and I believe him that he didn't know. So, all right, let's go on. Well, this is a good one from Gold Member. That, I love that name. That's great. Cheers. Is it surprising that a player like Kevin Zeitler was not retained by Baltimore and only got a moderate one-year deal? Okay. A little bit, yes. Yes, it was. This is Malcolm, so I'm just going to call him Malcolm. What's up, buddy? So Zeitler is 34. He did injure his knee at the end of the season. That probably didn't help his market at all. He was being picky about where he wanted to be. He's in ring whore mode, like, no doubt about it. And the fact that ring whores want to come to Detroit is, yeah, that's pretty good state of where the team is at. The money is decent for him. He probably could have got a little bit more if he wanted to go play for, who's not good? Arizona. Pittsburgh. Actually, Pittsburgh would have made sense for him. But he's in Detroit, and I'm grateful that he's in Detroit. And I talked about him in the solo show, so my thoughts on Zeitler are there. Check it out. If you liked and subscribed, you would have known when that episode came out, and you can also find it in the archives there on YouTube. That's a great way to go about that. All right. Another one from Malcolm, because he doubled up, and I like this question a lot. You did five players you'd love the Lions to draft. That's at Lions Wire. Check it out. Google it. Maybe we can even put a link in here. I don't know. We'll see. Who are five players you've seen mocked to us you don't want them to draft? Okay.
Thomas.
Gotta think now. Chop Robinson is number one. I don't think he's a good fit. I think he's a great athlete. I don't think he's a great football player. He reminds me of Azeez Ojulari, who was a second-round pick, undersized, although Chop's a little bit bigger than him, but has shorter arms. He was great at creating pressure, but, and the butts are where they get you, his conversion rate from pressure to sack was abysmal, like terrifyingly bad. For a guy to get, I think the number was 110 pressures and only get four sacks. Like, let's think about this for a second. What's the Lions' biggest weakness on defense? Defending running quarterbacks, or quarterbacks who can run, who can also throw. Getting pressure on those guys is actually really bad if you don't finish, because then they're free to run and you've got one less defender that can stop them. I don't like that fit at all. I would rather roll with James Houston if we're going to go with an undersized speed potential rusher there. And James Houston's already on the roster. He knows the defense. He's shown he can finish. I'm not sure that in 2024 that Chop Robinson would be that much more impactful for the Lions than what James Houston would be. Other ones that are out there. I am not an Ennis Rakestraw guy. I get the appeal, but for him to be mocked in the first round, I don't see that at all, man. Chris Abrams-Drain, his teammate at Missouri, for my money, is a better prospect for overall, and probably for the Lions, too. He's not as big. He's not as athletically freakish, but Rakestraw, I don't know. I just didn't see it with him. He's good. He's fine. Like, I won't hate it, but I would prefer that they go in a different direction there. Trying to think of some other guys who I see mocked to the Lions that I'm not a fan of. Not really mocked much to the Lions because they're usually off the board by then, but I have seen it once. That's Amarius Mims out of Georgia, the giant offensive tackle. Look, he's loaded with potential. He's very raw. He's inexperienced, and he's injury prone. This is a guy who hurt himself at the combine, hurt himself again at Georgia's pro day. Had time, missed time last season. He had the high ankle sprain. He had the tightrope surgery. And then it didn't take. That's sort of what happened with Tua. I worry a lot about, there's a lot of questions there that can get answered by other players in that range that just as well. Mims could wind up being spectacular, and I wouldn't bet against him, but there's a lot of variables there that I'm just not comfortable with for this team. Having said that, Brad will probably really like him because he's injured all the time. That's a joke. That's a joke. Get over it. Get over yourselves. It's good. Two others. I'm not the biggest Kool-Aid McKinstry fan. He's good. I think a lot of the reason why Lions fans didn't like Cam Sutton in coverage, in man coverage specifically, show up with Kool-Aid. He's better when he's looking at the quarterback, and he doesn't have that balance of, I'm looking at the quarterback, I'm playing the receiver. I've got my hand on the receiver without holding him to judge where he's going. Like, he will take that pause at the break on the route. Like, let's say it's a 7 yard, then it's a stem route, and he either wants to go on a post or an out or a fly, continue down the field. Cam Sutton always paused there. Kool-Aid has that in his game too. Now, he's probably a little bit better of an athlete, and he's a good player, but I just, again, with other options being present, I would rather explore those other options there. Sounds like I'm down in the cornerback class. I'm kind of am, but one more. Let's go offense. Devondre Sweat. There's my fifth. I haven't seen him mocked the Lions in a little while, but early on there was some momentum for him. He's not better than DJ Reader at nose tackle. And I'm not fond of drafting a nose tackle in the second round, a guy who's going to get 1.5 sacks, a handful of pressures. He's not as good as Jordan Davis was coming out of Georgia. He's much more in the Andrew Billings mold, except he's bigger and less mobile side to side. That's a fourth or a fifth round value for me, and I think it is for the Lions too, especially now that they've added Reader. So I don't think that one's realistic, but he's also a guy that I just don't see the value commensurate with where he would need to be drafted. I think the Browns are taking him in the third, by the way, if you're looking for bold predictions. Let's see here. No. Who is this year's Kelee Ringo? Media projected first rounder the league will not be as high on. That's a good question. Comes from FMS. I will say, it's funny because I just got done writing about Michael Penix Jr. in his pro day, which was yesterday. The Lions were there. The Lions were not looking at Penix. They did have, a keen eye on the receivers and offensive linemen that that Washington offers. Troy Fautanu would be a fantastic first round pick. I think he's going to be long gone. But guys like Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk, they are certainly going to draw some interest there. Roger Rosengarten as an offensive tackle. I'll talk about Rosengarten real quick as a diversion here. If you go back in Brad Holmes' history, they used a pick on their current right tackle for the Rams. Coming out of Wisconsin, he was the same sort of player, a function over form player. That's what Rosengarten is. Now, Rosengarten is a little bit better of an athlete, but that's his comp. And I can see that the Brad Holmes will find some appeal to Roger Rosengarten in the second or third round if he's there. as a kind of, you know, depth tackle for rookie year, second year, maybe who develops into something that can start down the line. So I do think that there's some interest there from the Lions. Back to the question though, who's this year? Ennis Rakestraw might be one of them. I think Michael Penix, I don't think he's getting drafted before the third round. I just, the injury history, the fact that he's left-handed, which is stupid, but it matters to the NFL. It really does. There's the NFL doesn't always think right, and that's one of the cases where they just don't. It goes counter to what they do. But I do think the injury history, the age, the fact that what made him most effective was his threat to run, and now because of the injuries, he's modified his game such that he doesn't. I think he's one. Sweat is one. I don't think he's going before the 50s at the earliest. These are the debates that we get into when draftniks discuss things. I'm trying to think who else we think that the league isn't nearly as high on. A.D. Mitchell comes up some from Texas. He's one of those guys that I think Xavier Worthy goes before him. Let's put it that way. Worthy's really, really fast. I worry some about Worthy's ability to track the ball. He's sort of like J-Mo, quite frankly, in that his speed alone will impact the game enough that he's got value, even if he doesn't always catch the ball all that well or track it all that well. So there's one. Olufoshanu is an interesting one. I've seen him mocked in the teens. I've also seen him outside the first round. I'm not an Olu guy. He's not in my top 30 picks, my top 30 big board. All that, by the way, is available at DraftWire. Please check that out. It's pretty cheesy, but you got to self-promote these days. I mean, hey, I regularly appear on the Huge Show. Self-promotion is not above me or below me. I've learned from Huge well. Hi, Bill. I hope that the Lions don't go at Olufoshanu either, because he's one of those guys. Interesting prospect. I'm not big on him. I'm take a little bit of a break here. I need to warm up my coffee and perhaps get some water, because I'm about to cough something fierce. So I'll be right back. Back for the attack. Best Dokken album, by the way. George Lynch's work on Mr. Scary. Incredible. But I digress. Back to the questions from John Miller. What's your opinion on why they haven't signed St. Brown or Goff or Decker to new deals, especially Decker and Goff to create cap room? It's a very good question, John. I don't know why they haven't done it. I know that they have been talking with Amon-Ra and with Goff for some time. Whether it's an issue of money or how much gets guaranteed or bonus or whatever, it's, I don't want to say concerning, but it's interesting that they haven't done that yet when so many other teams are doing that. Just saw the Houston Texans redid Titus Howard just before I started recording this. That's the kind of deal that you can sort of, you know, expect Decker to maybe get. We'll see. Sorry. Okay. Goff is interesting because the longer he waits, the higher his price tag goes. You know, that market doesn't go down. So if he was going to get $42.5 million a year with $30 million of that guaranteed over the course of a 2 or 3 year deal, what happens if Dak Prescott signs for more than that? What happens if another quarterback gets a big raise? Like, that's the dangerous game that you play if you're both the team and Goff. I am a believer that Jared Goff doesn't play for the money. Like, as somebody once said, you know, how much more money do you need when you're making, you know, $30 million a year? There is a respect factor to it, though. And I would be surprised if the Lions don't get something done with Goff this season, whether it's just before opening day, or, you know, before training camp or right as training camp starts. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But it's, look, he's under contract for next year. And while you want to avoid the Kirk Cousins shenanigans of him, you know, hitting free agency every year, and then you either have to tag him, which, by the way, would be a big raise for Goff, and he wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that, or his agent wouldn't be opposed to that, or advising him to do that, because it will be more, and then you get to be a free agent again. The only issue that you would have on that, well, there's two, although Cousins dispelled the injury one because he got loaded from Atlanta, is if you suck. And I don't think that Jared Goff thinks he's going to suck. I don't expect him to suck. I don't think many people listening to this expect him to not be great. So he might want to ride that out. Don't discount that. Amon-Ra, I don't know why that deal isn't done. It's that one's weird to me, because I think the general parameters for what he needs to get paid are pretty much there. And, you know, that's an interesting one. But we'll see. I don't know. It's a good question. Decker, by the way, Decker would be one of those where you add a year on, give him a crap ton of signing bonus, add another void year on, free up cap room for this year if you need it. Right now, they don't really need it, so that might be why they're not doing anything with that. And he buys you one more year with Decker as your left tackle, which would be through 2025, 2026, potentially. So that's not a super urgent one, in my opinion. We'll see what happens with that. All right. I like this one from Sam. What's your estimate of opportunity cost between a guard at the end of the first and end of the third round? All right. So we're looking at the guards that are available at the end of the first. Guard centers. Well, I'm going to put that together. I think JPJ, there's a chance he'll be there. He's another one of those guys that I think that we collectively in the media, and I'm guilty of this certainly, think he's better than what the NFL necessarily thinks he is. Having said that, I still think that the NFL, most NFL teams, or at least enough to draft him, will view him as a top 25 prospect, that he will be gone. Graham Barton as well. His pro day at Duke, he knocked it out. So you're not getting those guys. You're looking at Troy Fautanu, maybe. I'm a massive Cooper Beebe fan. I will stand for him all day. I don't think he's going at 29. I think he's a candidate if the Lions trade back into the middle of the second or something like that. He's the type of player that you could get there. But go. Let's go down to the third. Okay, Christian Haynes out of Connecticut. I'm not his biggest fan. He's got a lot of illegal hands to the face penalties that didn't get called in college. We know the Lions' history with that. And just in general, his hands wind up being too high. That can be taught. He's certainly got the snarl for it. Has the moving ability to make it happen. Christian Mahogany, I'm a big fan of his out of Boston College. He should be available down there in that third round. The drop-off probably isn't that severe. There's some good guards later in this draft that can be had. Zach Frazier, first round, to go back to that, would probably be the most likely guy to go in the first. He can play center. He's better at center. He's interesting because he's pretty good. He's definitively better than guys you could get at the third, but how much more? It's not as great as the difference between getting Xavier Leggett at 29 and getting, who's a receiver that would be down there? The guy from Georgia, Jalen Polk from Washington, Malik Washington. Who else is down in that range? Jerry Rice's kid, Brendan Rice, is probably a third rounder. I'm not very high on him. Wrote him for Lions Wire if you want to check that out. I'm not a big fan there. Sorry, just not. Got to call him like I see him, and you got to stand by that. Otherwise, you're working for Molter Football. You don't want to do that. No. So I try to compare like the positions, like offensive tackle, who can I get at 30 or 29 versus who can I get at 70? What is it? 78, 72? I don't know. Too many numbers. I just picked up weird stuff. Yeah. That's a greater variance there than what you get at offensive interior offensive line. So I do think that if you're going to pause on a position of relative importance to the Lions, because they do absolutely have to get somebody in to take over for Kevin Zeitler in a year, to possibly take over for Frank Ragnow in a year. Yeah, that's, you can wait a little bit. Although I will say this, if they want the center, the component, they got to get that in the first or second, because you can't wait. The drop off to guys like Cedric Van Pran, that's a pretty steep drop. And not that Van Pran can't play, but there's a definitive line there, in the relative order of position value, if that makes sense there. I had to throw a bone to Ash. Thanks, buddy. All right. If you see someone having a breakout season from what, from within the roster this year, who apart from JMO do you think that would be? I'm paraphrasing the question, shortening it up a little bit. That's from Simon. Hi, Simon. Aleem McNeil, I think, can break out more than what he did last year already. I absolutely believe that. I think you have not seen the best football from Kirby Joseph yet. I think he's got a chance. If he doesn't have to worry as much about the corners on the outside, he can focus more on being better at what he is, which is a robber type of free safety who can also come up and allegedly impact the run. He's getting better at tackling. He's still got some work to do there. He's one. I think what you saw from Derek Barnes last year can get built on. Jack Campbell is an easy answer too, because I thought the Lions gave him too many things to think about as a rookie, and I think that stunted his development a little bit. I think you're going to see him understand his role and the NFL game better this year, and I think he will be a better linebacker in year two than he was in year one. Breakout? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of good young linebackers in the league. He's one of them. It would be nice if he went into the next tier or two up from that, because he's certainly got that potential. He's one. And I brought this up a couple times, brought it up in the solo show. Did Levi Onwuzurike, if he's healthy, Terrell Williams will get the absolute best out of him. He will bring out the dog in him. He will bring out the technical savant in him if it's there. So I wouldn't discount the fact that he could do it. Now, having said that, he might also not make the team. Like, there's that wide of a variance with Levi O. So I don't know. Fingers crossed on Colby Sorrestal, because I know some of you are thinking that, but I'm not there yet with him. I'm not displeased, but I need to see more before I get excited about Colby Sorrestal. That's probably the fairest way to say that. Oh, wow. I like this one. This is a good question from Rev Loa Lion. Mike, could you take a moment to talk about the behind the scenes for day three undrafted free agents? And he gave examples. When do Brandon, the front office, start contacting potential UDFAs? What goes into that process? That's a fascinating question. And every team does a little bit differently, but in general, they will start calling people Friday night, calling agents specifically. Like, hey, if your guy falls, like, we might consider taking him 6th, 7th round. We might be looking at him, like, right after the draft. Or if it's a guy that nobody really expects to get drafted. Trevor Nowoski was an example of this last year. The Lions contacted his people very early Saturday, before Saturday started, and were like, hey, you know, we're very interested in bringing you in as an undrafted free agent. You know, other teams are going to be calling you too. Just know that, you know, your hometown team, we like you. We like you a lot. And would prioritize that. So that some of that groundwork goes on then. It won't be Brad doing the calling. It will be staffers. It might even be Ray Agnew that are doing the calling during Saturday, like the 4th or 5th round. And they're seeing, okay, like, this is how our board has played out. Like, we've got this guy who's at this point on our board. We're probably not going to draft him, but we want him. And they will call the agent, or representation. Sometimes it's even a college coach, just to reaffirm that, you know, hey, is this guy worth us getting? you know, and it would be coaches that they trust. But that goes on quite a bit behind the scenes throughout Saturday. It's a very, very busy day for GMs, for staffers, obviously. It's also my busiest day of the year. Last year, I wrote and published 279 things on Draft Saturday. Yes, that's not an exaggeration. 279. So you won't see me on Saturday. It happens to be my favorite day of the year, too, because it's the day where you find out if your draft analyst really knows what they're talking about or if they only know the top 50 or so prospects. I love day three because it separates the wheat from the chaff there. I know folks like Emory Hunt, Chris Trapasso, Trevor Sikkema, John Ledyard, guys like that. We relish day three. We love that. Brian Bosar's was a deep fried draft for Draft Countdown is a big day three proponent as well. Some of the guys that I like, if they put out draft guides, buy them. Russell Brown, can't forget my guy Ross from Detroit Land Podcast on Lions Wire Zone. He knows these guys inside out as well. And I would guess, I don't want to speak for you, Russ, but I think you're a day three guy too. So yeah, that's a good question. That's actually something that I wish that the NFL Network or ESPN would like camp out with a couple of those guys that, you know, might like a kicker. The Iowa punter is a great example. He might get drafted, but he's going to be one of those guys that, like, when the draft is over, if he's not drafted, people are going to be calling him, and it'd be cool to see like how early they're calling him, and what teams are calling with interest. That would make a great, like, if they did like a behind the scenes thing with that. I'd like that a lot. Hard knocks of the draft life, you know, something like that. I'd watch. I think most people watching this video would watch too. Wrap up with a couple more questions here. I'm going to do one that's just in general. There's a couple questions here on it. It's also come from the Twitter sphere feedback that I got about Nate Sudfeld. Everybody knows, if you don't know, you're learning now, I'm not a Nate Sudfeld guy. I've never seen a quarterback who's been employed this long who throws as many passes low and erratically as consistently as Nate Sudfeld does. And this goes back to seeing him at the Shrine Game, 2017, 2016, whatever it was. And, like, he couldn't throw over the middle of the field without, like, bouncing balls. He just, for whatever reason, he's a tall guy and he throws down. His motion is such that the ball goes down. But I'm not upset that the Lions signed him. He's quarterback three. He's going to hold the clipboard. Jared Goff trusts him. He knows the offense. He was here last year. Didn't play well. The Lions were already, they already had brought in Teddy Bridgewater to take over as the backup quarterback because they were like, oh, Sudfeld, no, can't play him. We got to get somebody better in case Jared Goff gets hurt. We can't go to war with Nate Sudfeld. Well, they're not going to war with Nate Sudfeld this year either. He's on the team. He will be your third quarterback. Hendon Hooker will be the backup. The Lions like Hendon Hooker a lot. Gotta stay this off. Not enough that he's going to challenge Jared Goff. Don't misconstrue that. But they're very happy with Hendon Hooker's ability to come in if Goff were to get hurt and run the offense. Probably to a level that fans who were somewhat skeptical of Hendon Hooker to begin with would be radically uncomfortable with. He's QB2. Do not mistake that. And Sudfeld will come in and be a sounding board for a veteran who can help Jared Goff. You know, like, you like to have that kind of guy around, you know, a contemporary of yours who has seen some things throughout his time in the NFL. So you're not always just like grooming Hendon Hooker to be the best Hendon Hooker he can be, but you're also like learning some things like, or, you know, he'll see a look in from the Lions defense, like, why didn't I see that? Or what did you see on that that I missed? And he can go to Nate Sudfeld and Nate Sudfeld will give him that sort of feedback. I like that. I think that's a great addition. I expected him to come back. The money is not going to hurt and he will be signed. And he is the sort of guy that you can cut and you can put him on the practice squad. He'll be happy being there as your emergency quarterback. So happy with that. Even though I'm not fond of the player, he's better than Tim Boyle. Thank goodness that chapter is over. So that was one that was just in general, a general reaction one there. From Grant, tell me how to feel. Well, I don't like doing that. I'll just tell you how I feel. Our first round pick isn't a day one starter. Should I be worried we didn't get a player that makes the team better in 2024? Is our window that open? Or now that our window is open? I'm going to say, and this is a general statement, good teams don't draft for the current year. They draft for what needs you're going to have in the coming year. Look at teams like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, San Francisco does this very well. They don't necessarily draft guys who have to play right away. They're looking at guys who can fill holes down. The Eagles do this too. They drafted Nolan Smith in the first round last year. He barely played. They drafted N'Kobe Dean the year before that as in the second round. He didn't play at all. Didn't hurt them that much. You know, that's where the Lions want to be. They aspire to be there, and they're pretty darn close. I think the only potential starter that they would get in the 2024 draft with their first round pick would be if there's a wide receiver that comes in and just like lights it up right away. And you're like, we got to get this guy on the field with J-Mo and Amon-Ra. Yeah, I don't see that edge there. It's not a good year for pass rushers. It's just not. Darius Robinson is not starting over Josh Pascal. He's not. Not as a rookie. Maybe he will earn that throughout the season, but week one, they're starting lineup set. Defensive tackle, they're not starting over Aleem or DJ Reader. They're not. Linebacker, they're set there. They actually still have weird amount of depth. Rodrigo's linebacker 5. He can start in some places. Now, that defense might not be that great, but he's good enough to do those things. So yeah, it's great. You're drafting a guy this year. Let's say Frank Ragnow is going to retire, and he threatened to do it this year. I believe that he was serious about that too, with all the injuries that he's had. You take Zach Frazier, 29, center out of West Virginia. Great player. I'd be perfectly happy getting Zach Frazier there. Absolutely. And he comes in and he will play the 3 games that Ragnow will miss just from various injuries, even though Frank is a war daddy. He gets hurt. Part of having Frank Ragnow. He can also play if Graham Glasgow gets hurt. He can play if Kevin Zeitler gets hurt, but he doesn't have to. You get his feet wet a little bit and then take over for either Zeitler at right guard or take over for Ragnow if he retires. Like that's where they're at. That's the draft plan. If they draft an offensive tackle in the first round, obviously they're drafting for the future when Taylor Decker would be retiring or moving on to another team. I don't anticipate that's something that the Lions want, but you got to be prepared. And they do need a backup tackle anyways. Again, we talked about that earlier. Like that's a glaring freaking need on the team. It's number 3 tackle. So yeah. That it's weird. We're going to have to, as a fan base and as a media, Detroit collectively, we have to get used to the fact that we're not drafting impact talent for right away. That was last year. We're not that team anymore. We're better. This team is as good as any team in the NFC on paper right now. Going into the year, if they had to start their current roster today, the Lions are running away with the NFC North. They are the best team in the division. They lack some depth in some spots, but there aren't any like immediate opening starters. And I know there are people that are skeptical right now. Are you ignoring outside corner? No, I'm not. I'm an Amik Robertson believer. I loved that dude going out of Louisiana Tech. I like what I saw when the Raiders played him in man. He played zone early on. They tried him in the slot a little bit. He sucked at both of those. He'll tell you that. He's an outside man. Press man, maybe cover one type corner. That's where he's at his best. He's short. He's not small. He can play. Now, will they bring competition in for him in the draft? Absolutely. I expect competition for him in there. But as we talked about earlier, Emmanuel Mosley's on the roster too. If there's a guy who can beat out Amik, fantastic. But they don't have to have that. And that opens them up to do a lot of things in the draft. Let's Brad cook whatever recipe he wants to go down. And I like that. Talked a little bit about the NFC there. There's another question on here, and that was about the pecking order in the NFC North. Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago is close to Chicago is closer to Green Bay than they are to Minnesota. Minnesota at the bottom, and yes, they are probably the best last place team in football. Depending on what happens at quarterback, I think they're going to wind up with Drake May. I'm not a huge Drake May fan. He's my quarterback 5. I have J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix above him. I think that a lot of the discussion about Drake May is how great he can be. That ignores a lot of really bad tape. He is not... I feel like we had this conversation about Will Levis last year when there were people that thought that the Lions might be interested in Will Levis. Like, he's really good at a lot of things, but doesn't show it consistently enough on tape. And some of it was the offense, some of it was the supporting cast. Like, it just wasn't there for him. And that's certainly true of an excuse for Drake May. But I'm not there with him yet. He could be great. We'll see. But that's my pecking order. Chicago with Caleb Williams. Suppose we probably need to talk about it because he will be the number one pick. I'm not terribly concerned about it. I'm not sure that he is better in 2024 than Justin Fields was for Chicago in 2023 and 2022. He's got a lot to learn at the NFL level. He's a very physically talented guy. And I don't worry about the quirky personality. It's probably the safe way to say that. I think he's fine. I think his teammates at USC accepted him for being Caleb Williams. I think his NFL teammates will as well. It's not much different than what Tua was. Like, Tua had the Church of Tua following him around. Like, I just think that there are holes in Caleb Williams' game that are not going to be easily erased at the NFL level, similar to the ones that Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray had to come out of with the same system. You know, that it's going to take a little bit of time, but Bears have a good roster. They've had a great offseason. Props to them, but they are a year behind the Lions, and I will maintain that. And the Packers, good football team. They're good. They're not to the Lions level, but they're good. I would expect them to be a playoff team, wild card team this year. So that's that. That's enough questions. I've talked for far too long. I'm going to go enjoy spring break with my family. I hope that you all, if you're on spring break, enjoy it. Have a happy Easter. Be safe. Be good to each other out there. And go Lions.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's
go, baby. Lions on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Lions!
You've had enough of that shit.